Today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
They want to destroy the United States. They want to destroy the Western world, the free world, and shift political, economic, and military power over to the governments that are more organized along the lines of what they want for their new world order, like communist China.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the beginning of the last days. My name is Laura Lynn Tatter-Thompson. And before we get to our epic show today, I just want to read from my dad's Bible because he marked it up. I think he wanted to know what was important, so he would highlight it, put dates beside it. He'd put words beside it, arrows, circles, underlining everything. So my eye fell today to Psalms. This is Psalms 18:29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. And I don't know how else we can do what we do, because just before the show, Alex and I were talking about, you know, our very, you know, we've got a lot on our agendas. We're running here and there in the world, and we're checking out what's happening, and there's a lot. And he is broadcasting all of the time as well, and he's bringing incredible information. We have some fantastic clips to show you of what he's been up to. We're going to talk about the climate, we're going to talk about the border, and things that are going on in the United States, how that might affect Canada. Alex Newman, he's an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, speaker, investor, nationally syndicated radio host, and a consultant, and a whole host of other things. He's a dad. He has five boys, I believe. And he's a wonderful man with a beautiful wife. So, Alex, thank you for waiting in the background. Thank you for all you do for the world in spite of what's on your plate. It's amazing.
It's great to be here, Laura Lynn. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you very much for having me on the program.
You're welcome. So where do we begin? Because there's a lot of things that you've got your hands in right now. Like you've recently been to a climate, big symposium. Tell us all about it.
Well, thank you. Yes, I, at the end of 2023, I went over to the UN Climate Summit. I try to go to those every year. So I went to 2022. We were in Egypt on the Sinai Peninsula, and they unveiled the new Ten Commandments. That looked pretty important, right? You'd think so, but most of the fake media was not all that interested in reporting the facts. So I went again just a few weeks ago to the one that they held in the United Arab Emirates, and a lot of big news from there. The big takeaway was that basically we're going to be transitioning away from oil. And that sounds pretty scary, but it clicked for me while I was there what was really going on. And the BBC even got leaked documents showing that the government that was hosting the talks, the United Arab Emirates, they actually were making oil deals at the summit with the communist Chinese, with the Colombians, with the folks down in Mozambique. And so it hit me. When they talk about transitioning away from oil, from traditional energy sources, they don't really mean that the world is going to be transitioning away from anything. The communist Chinese are going to keep building coal-fired power plants. The Russians are going to keep extracting as much oil as they please. The Saudis and the Arabs are going to keep extracting oil, and they're going to keep selling it to pretty much everyone. The people who are going to have to transition away from oil are the people in what used to be known as the free world or Christendom. So what we're watching here is not so much a climate change process. What we're seeing here is actually a fundamental reorganizing of the geopolitical system. We're watching the end of the controlled demolition of what these globalists call the unipolar world order, where the United States was basically the sole unchallengeable superpower, the hegemon, and our friends like Canada and the Western Europeans and the Japanese along with us. And now the emergence of what they themselves have been calling for over a decade, the multipolar world order, in which power is going to be shifting to Beijing and to Moscow and to South Africa and to Brasilia and all the rest of these so-called BRICS nations, and ultimately then to these regional governments that they're building, Laura.
Wow. So you have sent a couple of clips of some, journalism that you were doing there. Did you want to set these up? We have one with Murkowski.
Yeah, so Lisa Murkowski, she is the Rhino U.S. Senator. She purports to represent the state of Alaska. And we call her Rhino. She's a Republican in name only, right? We've got Republicans, and then we've got Democrats and others disguised as Republicans. Lisa Murkowski certainly falls into that group. And in the short interview that I did with her, I was able to track her down and ask her a couple things. She was actually more honest than the other ones. The whole U.S. Senate delegation included seven U.S. senators, six of them Democrats, Murkowski being the lone quote-unquote Republican. And I asked her about the communist Chinese, right? This whole idea that the United States has to commit economic suicide by dismantling its energy systems. While the conference was going on, the Biden administration pledged they were going to slash methane emissions by, what was it? All of it, maybe. And they did an analysis at the FreedomWorks, the chief economist there. They found that that meant dismantling 60% of America's power generating capacity. Meanwhile, as we're shutting down power plants, as we're demolishing our energy infrastructure, shutting down our factories because they can't afford to compete with the regulations and the power prices, they're all moving over to communist China, where they're bringing two new coal-fired power plants online every single week, where their carbon footprint is growing by leaps and bounds and will continue to grow for the indefinite future. So I asked Lisa Murkowski about this. And, you know, to be clear, I don't begrudge the Chinese their CO2 emissions. The planet is starving for more CO2 is what Donald Trump's climate advisor told me. He said we should be encouraged to make more of it. I said plants were designed to live in an atmosphere with 4 to 5 times as much CO2. So to be clear, I don't begrudge the Chinese their CO2 emissions. But the idea that these senators and that this whole UN climate conference is promoting, that the United States needs to basically shut down its economy while communist China continues to increase its CO2 emissions, doesn't seem to make sense. So I asked Lisa Murkowski about that. And I also asked her a little bit of a setup because I had already talked to them about this before. They named, the U.S. Congress named, the largest climate bill in all human history. They called it the Inflation Reduction Act because they knew that a climate bill would not pass. Nobody was interested in a climate bill, so they called it Inflation Reduction. Of course, it didn't reduce inflation. But here is what Lisa Murkowski told me on these two very critical topics.
Senator, the communist Chinese are building coal-fired power plants faster than anybody can even count them. Their CO2 footprint is going up by massive amounts. How is all this stuff by the United States going to make any dent, on, assuming the greenhouse gas theory is correct, how is it going to make any dent with the Chinese doing what they're doing?
Everybody needs to be a participant in the broader global
But the CCP
solution.
Is not.
You've pointed out what we know to be correct, that in fact they are continuing to build coal-powered facilities at a considerable rate, just as they are working to build out their renewable. But it doesn't offset what they're doing with coal.
But they're selling that to us to get the
subsidies. And so again, when you're here at COP, and I haven't met with any of the Chinese, but the Chinese need to be part of this discussion. And I think the Chinese need to be challenged on what they are doing and how they are doing it, and brought into, again, the overall solutions. We want to see the Chinese make stronger commitments.
But will the U.S. government keep doing this even if the Chinese don't? I mean, is that
keep
not going to...
Keep doing what?
Decarbonizing, slashing energy, causing prices to go up.
I mean, I think the United States will do what they believe is clearly in the United States' economic and security best interests. We will continue to produce the resources that we have while also being very cognizant of our responsibility when it comes to reducing emissions. They're not mutually exclusive. We need to work on both of them. We need to lead. We need to lead. We can lead in producing our own resources at the same time that we're working to eliminate or to reduce our emissions.
Policies.
I think that the Inflation Reduction Act was very inartfully named. That's a politically correct statement.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all kind of look back at that and say, really? Inflation Reduction Act? Give me a break on that.
Okay, so good on you. You're just right in there, Alex. This is what we have to do as independent, you know, reporters, is actually going to these events and getting the comments for ourselves, because you know you won't see that on mainstream media.
That's exactly right, Lorelanda. They refuse to talk about these issues. They refuse to ask serious questions. I believe we were the only journalists at this entire summit. There was 83,000+ people there. I believe me and my team were the only, I was there with the New American Magazine where I serve as senior editor. We were the only actual journalists there with real questions, with real reporting. There was thousands of other so-called journalists there, but none of them seemed interested at all in any real questions. In fact, some of them got mad at us for asking real questions. There used to be a Canadian team that would go from the Rebel, and then they got banned because Justin Trudeau and his regime don't like real questions, so they asked the UN to ban them. So it's down to just us. And if nobody goes there to ask these questions, if nobody goes there to report what's really going on, humanity is going to be even more in the dark than it already is.
Wow. So tell us then about some other people that you kind of spoke to on this quest at the climate summit.
Well, we interviewed a lot of people. We spent about 5 minutes with the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, a very grumpy fellow. One of my colleagues who was there is actually a cattle rancher and talked a little bit about this cattle ranching issue all over the U.N. summit. They said, we got to get rid of cows. We got to get rid of meat, especially for Westerners. And so she asked Secretary Vilsack about this. He says, oh, we just may need to make sure they need have to make less emissions. They have to eat different food. We have to put new additives in their food, as if this guy had any idea what he's talking about. We talked to several of the top scientists behind the Joe Biden administration's fifth climate assessment that they did. It came out in the news that some of the quote unquote scientists who were working on this were actually environmental activists working for far left fringe extremist groups, some of which we know are getting money from the Russian government through a shell corporation in Bermuda called Klein Limited. So we asked them about this and said, oh, well, we don't know anything about that. We talked to pretty much everybody that would be worth talking to there that we could get to. And the sentiment was basically the same. Who are you to ask us questions? This transformation is unstoppable. There's nothing anybody can do to stop this. And in the background, of course, the whole time, and nobody wanted to talk about this either, was Donald Trump, right? The 800-pound screaming gorilla in the room who has called the climate agenda a hoax by the communist Chinese to steal our money and destroy our economy. And of course, he's very likely to be the next president of the United States unless they destroy the country or rig the vote. And so I asked a whole bunch of people. In fact, I asked the whole panel of U.S. senators, how are you making all these commitments to the U.N. to spend more of our money, to destroy more of our power plants? How are you making these commitments when the American people don't believe you? The polling shows American adults overwhelmingly reject the man-made global warming theory, I mean, by huge numbers. And even the people who believe it are not willing to pay one additional dollar on their monthly electricity bill for this stuff. How are U.S. policymakers making all these commitments? And the response from U.S. Senator Chris Coons was basically, nothing can stop us now. Doesn't matter if Donald Trump becomes president, we are unstoppable. We're going to keep making this progress. And he bragged that in the Inflation Reduction Act, they had allocated billions of dollars to Republican states, basically trying to get them dependent on this fraud to continue it going. Truly unbelievable, Laura Lynn. But this is the kind of stuff that the media will not talk about, but this is what's going on there.
Wow. So we have this clip with the, is it the seven senators or?
The press conference with seven senators. I think that was the last one I sent over. Yep.
Right. Sure. Let's have a look at that.
There was a poll released several months ago, AP NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that less than half of Americans even believe that human activity is causing climate change. About a third are willing to pay even a single additional dollar on their electric bill each month to deal with climate change. And with the very real prospect of Trump coming back to the White House in 2024, how is the U.S. government planning to make credible commitments on funding and on these other issues that you guys are talking about?
Senator Coons, who chairs that committee?
That was part of why I spoke to what I think is both the structure of the Inflation Reduction Act, which has directed tens of billions of dollars already to construction projects in predominantly red states or politically conservative states, and to the way that we've been able to get out of my subcommittee and pass through the full committee an additional $1.5 billion in investment in combating climate change, predominantly in the global south, with an overwhelming bipartisan margin. So am I suggesting that were the former president to be our next president, everything would be fine? Not at all. But I'm saying that there is a broad enough and deep enough support for continuing investments to combat climate change and for the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law in particular, that we will continue. We'll continue to move forward regardless.
Oh, that's fantastic, Alex. That's good stuff, man. So what do you think he was struggling with, you know, because clearly he doesn't want to give Donald Trump too much credit, and yet.
Yeah, the last few words there were critical. We will continue to move forward regardless. In other words, the American people cannot stop this. The voters cannot stop this. The president of the United States cannot stop this. We're going to do it anyway. And I mean, they live in this bubble, Laurelyn. I mean, you listen to this guy talk. He's talking about we're spending billions of dollars combating climate change in the global South. Look, man, you are a senator for the most indebted entity that has ever existed in human history. You maniacs have borrowed $33 trillion from our children and our grandchildren, more than any other entity in all of human history has ever even conceived of. You've got $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. The country is collapsing around you, and you're bragging that you're wasting billions of additional dollars fighting a non-problem in the global South. I mean, they are so detached from reality that, you know, a normal person looks at this and says, do they live in a different universe from us? Like, you know, we're struggling to pay for our gasoline. We're struggling to put food on the table. And you're bragging that you're borrowing billions of additional dollars from my children to waste on some gender studies project in Pakistan. Like, you have got to be kidding me. But this is the attitude they have. And they also do believe, as Senator Coons indicated there, that nobody can stop them. This is beyond the reach of voters or little people like me and you. Doesn't matter if people don't believe us. Doesn't matter if Donald Trump is the president. So I think this arrogance, this hubris, it reminds me of what the Bible says. Pride goes before the fall. And the, you know, the UN had all these posters all over the place. The transformation is unstoppable. John Kerry said the same thing. I confronted John Kerry a year and a few months ago, and he didn't want to talk about any of this stuff either. Of course, they never want to talk to anybody with real questions. But they are now taking the position that they cannot be stopped. And all I can think about is, you know, the hubris, the arrogance, and the Titanic. Right? It's unsinkable. Not even God himself can sink this Titanic. Well, good luck with that. Let's see how it works out.
Wow. Fantastic. And you have one more with, I think, a Biden scientist clip.
Yes. So these are two of the top scientists that worked on the fifth climate assessment. And I mentioned a little bit of the background there, right? The U.S. Congress found out that the Russian government, the Kremlin, which we're supposedly supposed to be all up in arms about, that they have been funneling money through a shell company in Bermuda called Climb Limited to far left environmental activist groups in the United States. Actually, right after I asked that question, the news broke internationally that the Communist Chinese were funding radical far left green groups in the United States. I'm sure the same is true in Canada. Isn't it interesting? They want to keep the oil in the ground in the United States. They want to dismantle all the power plants in the United States and in Canada while they're continuing to do it. Why are they doing this? So this is what I asked the scientists. Why did you guys bring these guys onto this report? And their answers, I think, were pretty revealing.
As you know, there's been some criticism in the press of this climate assessment report for in part relying on experts from politicized environmental groups. One of the groups involved was the Environmental Defense Fund, which was receiving funds from the Sea Change Foundation, which, according to congressional investigators, was getting Russian money and oil money through a shell company in Bermuda called Klein Limited. Why did you guys bring these people into the report?
Thank you. I'm not familiar with the specific issue that you're raising. I think it is an important process where we do bring in authors and perspectives from across a wide range of experts, and I think it is an important aspect of the overall process to develop this report.
All right. What do you think about how they're responding to your questions? Good questions.
Yeah, they're never interested in responding to questions. They like the softball questions. Why aren't you doing more to save the world from global warming? And, you know, this kind of nonsense. And that's what they're used to. And so pretty much you get one question, right? If you have a real question, you get one question. And then you propose another question and everybody laughs. Like, oh, we all know you're not going to get called on again, right? But this is really serious. I mean, this is the attitude that these people have. The carbon footprint of this thing was off the charts. I've briefed several senior political leaders, including members of Congress, on what was going on there. And, you know, all the Republicans claim to be against this stuff. I shouldn't say all. There's a handful that have drank the Kool-Aid or at least pretend to. But the vast majority of Republicans, if you talk to them, and I do, some of them on the record, they say, oh, yeah, this is a fraud. We got to stop this. You know, what a scam. But then when they have the opportunity to stop it, this is what really gets me, Laura Lynn. They have the opportunity right now, as we are talking, they have the opportunity to defund all of this stuff. They, you know, the U.S. House of Representatives in our constitutional system has to approve every penny that is spent. If the Congress doesn't appropriate the money, if the House doesn't appropriate the money, the administration cannot spend the money. So all they'd have to do when they pass these funding bills is say no more money for climate nonsense, no more money for the UN, no more money for the COP summits, no more money for John Kerry to fly around the world on a private jet and lecture us about our CO2 emissions. And on the campaign trail, oh boy, we are so tough and we oppose this lawlessness by the Biden administration. But then when it's time to do something, what do? They raise the white flag, they surrender, and then they go back to beg for more money using the talking points. It's just, it's really sick, Laura Lynn, and we really need the American people and the Canadian people to wake up and realize we are being played for fools here, even by a lot of the people that we're told are our friends.
And John Kerry is stating that he's going to be resigning, and that's a good thing, I guess you would think in your mind.
Yeah, and it's very much like, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And, you know, the devil has a lot of minions. Ultimately, these individual people are not so much, clearly they're immoral, clearly they're wicked, clearly they need to repent and they need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not really the problem. It's like the system that's the problem. And so John Kerry will resign, and he should resign. He belongs in jail. But what's going to happen? Well, somebody else will fill that void. I believe John Kerry is probably resigning because the pressure is too great. There's a lot of people now who want to know what's happening with all the millions of tax dollars we're throwing down this rat hole called the Office of Climate Czar, right, that John Kerry heads. And I think he doesn't want to reveal that. What we know already is that he's paying all these left-wing hacks six figures to produce this stuff, but they don't want to reveal what's going on. So I think that's why he'll step down. But it's very much like with these powers and principalities, right? George Soros and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and all the rest of the clown car, they could all drop dead tomorrow, and Satan's got 10 more idiots ready to fill their shoes and take their place. So John Kerry may be shuffled off the scene because he's a distraction. He actually farted while he was talking about regulating methane emissions at the COP conference. It ended up in global headlines. I mean, that's got to be embarrassing. True story. Absolutely true story. And so, you know, they'll probably shuffle him aside because he's a distraction. He's a member of the Skull and Bones secret society. He hates our country. He hates God. And they'll put somebody else in to fill his shoes, which is what they typically do.
When you look at all of this, and you have followed it so closely, you've got to have drawn some conclusions. I mean, what is this really about? Like, if this is really not a real crisis, but they're creating this, who's at the top and why do they want to make climate change such an issue?
Great question, Laura Lynn. And I think the simple answer is Satan is at the top, right? They are of their father, the devil, and they are serving him. At the highest levels, I believe it's very conscious. At the lower levels, these are useful idiots. Their salary depends on believing this nonsense. So what's the real agenda? Well, back in the 1950s and even into the 1960s, they started promoting really hard this notion that we were going to run out of resources. There's going to be no more oil. We're going to run out of trees. We're going to run out of metal, and society's going to collapse and we're all going to starve unless you give us more money, unless you give up more of your freedom, unless we empower international institutions like the United Nations, unless you surrender your rights. Well, that didn't pan out, right? We now have more proven accessible oil reserves than we've ever had in human history. We're not in any danger of running out of oil or coal or anything else. So in the 1970s, they came up with a new scam. It was the global cooling scam. And they told us that CO2 emissions were bad for the planet. They were going to cause global cooling. And the global cooling was going to be so bad that billions of people were going to starve to death. And America and Canada were going to become a big ice ball. And we wouldn't be able to farm anymore and all the rest of it. Well, the global cooling turned out to be a big giant fraud, too. The solution to the global cooling fraud was exactly the same solution as the no more resources fraud and the solution to the global warming fraud. The one thing they added to the mix, actually Newsweek did a big cover story about it, the cooling world, and all the same things. We got to stop driving. We got to stop farming. We got to stop doing these things. And then they said we need to melt the North Polar ice cap by covering it with black soot to prevent this global cooling catastrophe. So, I mean, that's how idiotic they are. Thankfully, nobody serious listened to this idiocy back in the 70s either. They kept promoting the global cooling scam into the 80s. That didn't pan out. So they came up with the new scam, the global warming scam. The idea that CO2, the gas of life, the gas that every single one of us exhales. We exhale about 2 pounds of it every day. A gas that, by the way, makes up 0.04% of the atmosphere. A gas, human emissions of which make up a fraction of a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases present naturally in the atmosphere, even if you believe that greenhouse gases actually do what the climate warming theorists believe it does. And so they came up with this idea that CO2 is pollution, because if you can make CO2 pollution, then, as the Club of Rome said in 1991 in this incredible report — the Club of Rome is, you know, Al Gore, Mikhail Gorbachev, all these globalist environmentalist weirdos — they came up with this idea in 91 after the Soviet Union ostensibly collapsed, that we needed a new enemy to unite us. And the new enemy, they said, would be environmental problems and global warming. Why? They said it in plain English. Humanity, then, is the enemy. So we're the enemy, Laura Lynn. When you understand that you are the carbon that they want to reduce to zero, suddenly everything makes sense. That's why they're telling us no more babies, no more factories, etc. And then, of course, this whole geopolitical realignment. They want to destroy the United States. They want to destroy the Western world, the free world, and shift political, economic, and military power over to the governments that are more organized along the lines of what they want for their new world order. Right? Communist China is a very good example.
So, Alex, another way that they seem to be destroying the United States of America, and also, you know, thereby Canada, is allowing the borders to not be sealed and a lot of people coming in. And some 24 to 20, I've heard two possible numbers, 24,000, 26,000 even, of Chinese young military-aged men coming into your country, never mind all the other places, all of the sex traffickers. What is going on there?
This is, as you just suggested, Laura Lynn, this is a continuation of the effort to demolish and destroy the United States of America. Now, you know, I've interviewed a lot of the experts and supposed experts on this subject. I interviewed the former head of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He said they're bringing in new Democrats, right? It's actually the same thing Mark Morgan told me, the former head of Customs and Border Protection. These are good, decent, God-fearing, patriotic Americans. Some of them served even in the Trump administration. They had been in government for a very long time. And I trust that they truly believe that. But I actually think it's significantly worse than just importing new Democrats. What they're doing here, they're setting the stage for the collapse of the United States of America, right? When you get rid of the border and you encourage millions of military-aged men to come into the United States, and then you tell them, hey, this is a racist country, this country needs to be dismantled, white privilege is the cause of all your problems, what is going to happen? They are going to stir angst and unrest like we have never seen before. And so on Donald Trump's National Security Council, his director of policy and planning, his name was Rich Higgins, he wrote a brilliant memo where I think he encapsulated very well the end goal here. He said you have this alliance, this deep state, that's bringing together an alliance of Islamists, socialists, communists, globalists, etc. And they're all united in this one goal: to destroy the United States of America, not just as a nation, but also as an idea. So, Laura Lynn, I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people. I think they're setting us up for a civil war in this country. They know very well, we've even had congressional hearings on this, that a lot of these communist Chinese coming across the border, they are special forces. They're with the People's Liberation Army. You know, they'll come up here and they'll take a job as a busboy at a Chinese restaurant. Maybe they'll work as a mechanic or a janitor or something like that. And then when the time comes, when they are activated, they've got the blueprints for the water treatment facilities. They've got the blueprints for the bridge. They've got the blueprints for the critical infrastructure. They will bomb it. They'll take down the power grids. They'll take down the sewage treatment facilities. They will wreak absolute havoc in this country. And this is an agenda that's been in motion for a long time. Barack Hussein Obama, and he's really like the shadow president, if you will, and he's not even the top of the pyramid himself. He's got people behind him, but he really is one of the key players directing the actions of this administration. And his political career was actually launched in the home of Bill Ayers. Now, Canadians probably are not familiar with Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers was a communist terrorist leader. He was the founder of the Weather Underground. Now, this is a communist terrorist organization that bombed the Pentagon. They bombed the Capitol building where our Congress meets. They bombed the State Department. They murdered police officers in this country. And then they bombed the funerals of the police officers so they could kill more police officers and their families. And Bill Ayers was actually put on trial. He was prosecuted. And due to a technicality, he was let off. He bragged, I believe it was in the New York Times, said, guilty as sin, but free as a bird. Now, why do I bring all this up? Well, The FBI operative who infiltrated the leadership of this terrorist organization, his name was Larry Grathwall. He did a very important interview before he passed away, and he explained what he learned when he infiltrated the highest level of leadership of this terrorist organization, which, by the way, was working with the communist Cubans, with the Soviets, etc. He said that they had a plan to collapse the United States of America in a crisis and then to summon hostile communist foreign powers to rule over pieces of the country. So the communist Chinese were going to take a big part of the Pacific coast. The Russians were going to take a big part of the Atlantic coast. The Cubans were going to take part of the Southeast. The North Koreans were going to get a piece, the Vietnamese, etc. And Larry Grathwall, again, people can watch this interview. He asked, well, what are we going to do with the people who reject this new system, the people who don't want to participate, the diehard capitalists and counter-revolutionaries? He said, well, we're going to put them in camps. They said they were going to build a network of concentration camps all across the southwest of the United States where they were planning to put tens of millions of Americans. And he asked, well, what do we do with the ones who just can't be re-educated, the ones who are insufferable and who will never get used to this new thing? And he said, in almost word for word, those we are going to liquidate. They're going to be liquidated. And they estimated that they'd have to liquidate 25 million Americans. That's about 10% of the American population. So what are they doing? They're working to collapse the United States of America. And, it's hard for people to see how all these pieces work together. The climate scam, the open borders, the jihad on free speech, the total censorship on the internet, the COVID scam. All of these things seem separate. But they're all working toward the same ultimate objective, which is the enslavement of mankind. And right now, America is currently constituted under the U.S. Constitution is a big obstacle to that. So it's the last remaining major barrier. So, that's what we're headed toward if the American people don't get serious about repenting, turning back to God, and stopping this wickedness and punishing these evildoers before they crash the whole thing.
Wow. I actually really agree with you. And we see it happening. As we follow every day, what do you make of the Palestinian uprising and the anti-Semitism that's growing? That's all part of it as well.
It is. It very much is. And this has been part of the plan for a very long time. In fact, the former head of Romanian intelligence, Ion Pacepa, very wise individual. He defected to the West, and he probably was one of the most important defectors that we ever saw. And he wrote a few books. One of them was called Disinformation. And what he talks about after he defected is that, among other things, is that the Soviet Union sent thousands of agents into the Middle East to radicalize Muslims, to teach them that America was the great Satan, Israel is the little Satan, and you need to wage perpetual jihad on them. And if you kill a bunch of them, especially their children, you get to go have a bunch of virgins in paradise with Allah. And of course, we recognize this is idiotic. And I don't mean to downplay the significance of Islamic theology, right? It's not a new phenomenon that very devout Muslims murder Christians and Jews and things like that. I mean, it's been going on since the time of Muhammad. He led the way. He's the example for his followers. But the communists did hope to use the Islamic world as a battering ram against Christendom, against the free world. Now, unfortunately, they've had a lot of help from the Western world, right? I mean, before the latest shenanigans, Joe Biden released billions of dollars out of the United States toward Iran. Right now, the U.S. government provides way more foreign aid, over $20 billion to a bunch of Arab governments sworn to Israel's destruction than they provide to Israel. So on the one hand, we're giving billions of dollars to Israel. On the other hand, we're giving billions of additional dollars above and beyond that to hostile Islamic neighbors that want to exterminate them. So they're using this, they're doing this on purpose. And as Rich Higgins mentioned, the Islamists are a major part of this coalition against the United States and against the Western world. They may not agree with the LGBT mafia. They may not agree with the globalists. They believe the whole world needs to be under Allah. The globalists have a slightly different vision, as you might imagine. But as long as they can be useful for demolishing their common enemy, which is the church, which is Christians, which is societies built on Christian principles, then they can be in an alliance and they can settle their differences later. So right now, the sad fact is Muslims are being used and manipulated by evildoers to murder and destroy and kill and things like this. And I believe that's one of the reasons why they're importing millions and millions of them into Sweden, into Canada, into Germany, into the United States, into France. This is not an accident. It's very strategic. These people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing.
It's scary, too, because they don't have our value for life, our way of thinking, and they, you know, many of the Palestinians were celebrating even as October 7th took place. And that was before any retribution was dealt out by Israel. And so we've got a real problem. Another thing, I don't want to let you go, and thank you for your generosity with your time, but you do have a brand new book being released actually today. Could you tell us about that?
Well, thank you, Laura Lynn. I actually have a copy of an advanced copy of it right here. It's called Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. I do believe this is the most important issue we are facing right now. All the issues that we just talked about are critical, but the centerpiece of their strategy for taking down Christendom, for destroying our countries, for destroying our liberties, and for building this totalitarian, diabolical, one-world political, economic, religious, and military system is the so-called education system. So what I do in this book, I go through the history of how we got here. You know, the idea that government would educate children is a very, very recent phenomenon, right? For almost 2,000 years of Christian history, parents were responsible for educating their children with a supplemental role for the church. And in the last 150 years, we've now moved to this idea that, you know, parents are the problem. Government will be in charge of educating the children. So how did we end up in America with the majority of our adult population can hardly read or can't read at all? How did we end up where a society that was almost entirely Christian, I mean, 100% of people basically had a Christian worldview at the founding of our country. How did we go from that to this, where we've slaughtered 60 million babies, where our children want to burn down our cities and burn down the border and kill their parents and chop off their private parts? I don't know what bathroom to go into. How did that happen? Well, that process is explained in the book. And so I end with a very, very strong call to Christians to pull their children from the system. And then in the afterword, I kind of sketch out a vision. You know, what does a legitimate, true, real Christian education look like? And I do believe, Laura Lynn, that this is the issue which will make or break. You know, people talk about the Great Commission. We need to make disciples of all nations. We do, and we must. Those are our instructions from God. But how are you going to make disciples of other nations when you're losing your own nation? How are you going to make disciples of other people when you're losing the children that God entrusted to you? So we've got to take this seriously. We've got to deal with this crisis, or it's all over. Stick a fork in it. Forget the border. Forget the guns. Forget the free speech. It's over. We've got to address this. And so that's what I'm trying to do with the book.
You are so right. And I just thank you for being so courageous and being out there on the front lines, taking the hits, which I know you do, taking the hits to be able to speak this candidly. What you're saying is epic. What you're saying, it takes a certain amount of moxie to be able to be putting this out. And you're at Liberty Sentinel every single day. And I just want to do a share on that because people are asking where they can actually follow you. And it's libertysentinel.org. And you've got your shows and you write about things and people can follow all of the great journeys that you make in order to confront some of these globalists. So that would be probably the best place to follow you. Anywhere else?
Yeah, thank you so much, Laura Lynn. Yeah, so libertysentinel.org, not.com.org. People can sign up for the newsletter. People can see what we're doing. I've started using X a lot more ever since Elon Musk kind of freed it up a little bit. And I'll tell you what, Laura Lynn, you're doing such a great job. You know, I saw you had Dr. Peter McCullough on. He's actually strongly endorsed our book. Great guy. We've got endorsements from Kirk Cameron, Alex Jones, Peter Hegseth, the co-host of Fox and Friends. We actually have a lot of people from within the system. The former head of public education in Arizona wrote the forward to the book, the Honorable Diane Douglas, a great lady. So, you know, all of that and much more you can find at libertysentinel.org. And it's a huge honor to be a regular guest with you, Laura Lynn. So thank you. And I hope we will talk again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex. And God bless you. And we'll be picking up your book. Thank you very much for your stand. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura Lynn. God bless you.
God bless. All right. So can you imagine how busy Alex is with his family of many kids, and he is standing in the gap for the world, basically bringing these things to light. I appreciate him so much. I hope that you'll check out Liberty Sentinel. I hope that you'll, support him even financially. What an incredible amount of work he does to bring all of this truth to us. Earlier this week, you saw that Berlin, Germany, the farmers literally descended on the Capitol. And I want to show you this. So absolutely stunning. And we did show you this a couple days ago, but it just bears repeating that when people get this upset, if we don't have farmers, we don't have food. This ties into this climate nonsense that they're perpetrating on the world. This is the rising of the people against these elites and these folks that are, you know, trying to give us a different scenario. Absolutely stunning. Incredible shots from the air, drone shots, I guess that would be, that are up there. I remember the drone shots for the Freedom Convoy 2022. Staggering that, you know, millions of Canadians supported that trucker's convoy and even showed up. These are the firefighters. So the firefighters are showing up in support, basically to say that we support you. This is what we need, is we need a whole lot of people willing to put themselves in, you know, in the line of fire almost to go, we stand together. And we do, you know, Alex mentioned about the border, and we do want to run a Fox clip regarding what Governor Abbott is doing down there at the border. And this is something that maybe all the governors need to do.
On the Rio Grande River, it served as a landing point for illegals crossing into the U.S. in more than 2 years. This means not even the feds can patrol there. Matt Finn, live in Eagle Pass, to tell us how it's going. I guess this is this day one or day two, Matt? Good morning.
Essentially, day two. This all started developing yesterday, Bill, and it's a rather remarkable situation. Behind me right now is Shelby Park, the park that you were referring to. Our viewers may recognize it. Our cameras have been here for about 2 years now, showing you the mass illegal immigration that happens right here in this park. You might recall even just a few weeks ago, there was that huge surge of migrants who crossed right here. Well, now, under Governor Abbott's emergency declaration, the Texas National Guard has seized control of this park and some surrounding land along the river, put up fencing and razor wire, and kicked out federal Border Patrol agents, arguing that it's the Biden administration that has perpetuated illegal crossings, so Texas is going to control this land from here on out. Our crews have seen what appears to be Texas National Guard blocking Border Patrol agents from key areas of the operation here, and senior Border Patrol agents confirmed to Fox News that BP has pulled resources to avoid a confrontation. Now, it's not quite clear if this unprecedented move by Texas is really going to help or harm illegal migration here, because it appears that ultimately when migrants arrive to this park, Texas National Guard is still going to have to turn them over for processing to Border Patrol, essentially adding an extra step. Another added layer, the mayor of Eagle Pass says he was completely caught off guard by this move. He does not agree with his park being taken over and is looking into his legal options.
This is not something that the city wanted, requested, asked for. He made it clear that this is the state and that they have the legal authority to do that. Of course, our legal team is looking into the actions taken by the states.
I love it. You know, these governors here up here in Canada, those that are the premiers that are running the provinces, you can use your authority to do some pretty unique things. And hey, maybe you have to just say, you know, darn it to all the consequences. We got to do what we have to do, because our governments are so corrupt, and these agendas that are going on coming against us, it's just sickening. And you know what's truly sad is that so many people still don't see it. But that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about it, so that you can share, everyone. Share what Alex Newman said. You think that civil war is only about the United States of America? What about civil war here in Canada? What about the rage that some people are feeling with all that's going on? What about the uprising of some of these different groups that seem to be having their own agendas, bringing problems and issues from other countries into our country? What about our government not standing up for putting Canadians first? This is a problem. So we've got some interesting days here, and we're going to go through it together in January 2024. We are going to be linking arms and trying to get through the content that we are given every day so that we present to you what you really, really need to know and also what you need to ignore, because there's a lot of fear-mongering and we don't need to be a part of that. But we need to understand that without knowledge, the people perish. So we endeavor to bring you knowledge every single day. I want to take you to our website, which is lauralyn.tv. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you to each and every one of you for taking a moment out of your very busy day, going over to the website, pushing the donate button, and you can donate anonymously. You can become a monthly partner if that would be easy for you to give just a few dollars every month to help us. Believe me, it goes a long way. A little bit of money from you and a little bit of money from someone else, bringing it together helps us to cover all of our expenses so that we're not, you know, having stress over money, but we can actually concentrate on doing a really good job for you. And that's what we intend to keep on doing. Another way to donate, if you would be so kind, is lauralynlive@protonmail.com. If it's easy for you to send e-transfers, lauralynlive@protonmail.com. It's also good at lauralynlive@gmail.com, if that's easier for you. Thank you very much. We also have mail. If you would like to send a letter, you prefer to do it the good old-fashioned way and get it there in an envelope, no problem. P.O. Box 48184, New Westminster, V3M0A7. Thank you. We appreciate it. We've decided that we're going to heed the call of God in our lives to proclaim the truth, to speak the truth, because we find ourselves in an unprecedented battle and one we were not anticipating. JT and I did not believe that we were going to be, you know, having to make content at a time when, you know, the whole world seems like it's lost its ever-loving mind and it's gone mad. We didn't know that. As we have just trusted God for insight and discernment, we've decided that we will obey Him by being here every day. And we thank you. We thank you very, very much for helping us to do that. I want to leave you today with Psalms 72. And it says, "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness." You know, here in British Columbia, I'm really blessed because every day I get to open up the windows and look outside at the mountains. Now, if you're in Edmonton or Saskatchewan or Manitoba, you're not seeing as many mountains. From Calgary, you can see a few of those mountains coming in, you know, sort of from the west. But I love this about British Columbia. I love that my home is here in BC, although it's one of the most expensive places, seems like, in the world to live. And our real estate bubble is just atrocious. But when I look at those mountains, I know God made them. And I know that He commands His blessing over this land and over our lives. And He is the God of justice. That justice will be meted out. Is that the way to say that? Meted out? Yeah? Is that okay? To those who do unrighteously before the Lord. He's going to be watching that. And I want to say something to you, that when we hear of all of this unrest and we hear of potential wars and this nonsense going on about the climate and all of that, you can rest assured that you and me and my family and your family, we are safe and secure in the palm of His hand. And if we will trust Him, if we will listen, and I have to say, this is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty. If we are not hearing from God, we could miss a key moment. We need to be hearing from Him. How do we do that? Tune in. Tune in to Him every day. Pray. Ask Him. Ask Him for wisdom, because the Word of God says that He gives wisdom liberally. Yes, He's there. He wants to know that you want Him involved in your life, because God is something. He's a gentleman. He is respectful of your will. So if you don't want Him involved, God help you, but He will take His hands off your life. He steps in when He's invited. So if you want to hear from Him, make that connection sure. Let Him know right now, God, I want you to be part of my life. I want you to speak to me and warn me. Give me warnings when I need warnings. Tell me to go left when I need to go left and right when I need to go right. And it says this, may he defend the afflicted among the people. Are you afflicted? I feel a bit afflicted once in a while. So may he be our defender and save the children of the needy. Do you feel needy? I feel needy. I feel like I need God every single day. I need him to help us with our finances. I need him to help me, you know, with health. We want to be healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, in every single way. How do we do that? By tuning into God. And it says, may he crush the oppressor. So defend the afflicted, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun and as long as the moon through all generations. You know what? He is a boundless God. He has no beginning and he will never have an end. He is all powerful. He is supernaturally empowered and gifted to be the miracle that we need. Tune in to God for your strength and your source. There has never been an hour more important than now that we need to hear him. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow. You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.